So the one thing I've definitely learned is when you come up with a working title for a system is you should come up with a better title at the start, because the Workforce Repository and Planning Tool became Wrapped about 5 years ago, and it's never changed. My name is Colin Lurie. I work for GE Healthcare. And we're part of a... Can you just get back a second?
Sorry.
In terms of it there. We work for a set of partners. In terms of the presentations that we've had today, actually, there's been a number of presenters talking about partnerships. Like David, you know, we are obsessed with partnerships and being part of an ecosystem. Unlike David, our trousers are intact. But we are a group of three partners that work on Wrapped. I work for GE. It's been funded by Health Education England, but the powerhouse of this is at Lancashire Care Foundation Trust, and my colleague Fiona Lord, who runs the small service that we operate there. We could just shuffle on. So what is Wrapped? Let's just take you through that. It is a service, first and foremost. It is a team of people that's available to help with workforce planning and workforce redesign situations. A key thing about it, though, it's an approach. Okay, so it's an approach that can take you through the steps that help you to undertake workforce planning. It is a way of trying to say, this can be done, you can break this down. And what Fiona's going to talk about, much more about the approach than she is about the tool. And the key thing within Wrapped is we don't think we're the answer. Okay, we think we're part of the answer, but we know we're not the answer. And we are, as I say, obsessed with connection. So when it comes to the approaches that we take, we talk about an approach you can take, but there are a whole host of other approaches that can be taken and are being taken alongside the core stuff that Wrapped does. Calderdale, Six Step, person-centric, all of these different models that exist around there, we have worked with all of them, and the tool is being used with all of them around the country. It is, at its heart, it is a tool, and it is a free-to-use modelling tool, okay? The tool itself is available. If you come over to the stand, you can get the login, details. It is, it's available to anyone to use. All of the training materials are there. You can completely go away and use it yourselves if you wanted to. So this is not a sales pitch. There is a free tool that's available to use. And what it does is it stores the data. It allows you to store your workforce data. It allows you to store your activity data. And it allows you to link the two together to form a very clear understanding of both demand and capacity. And that is what Wrapped is about. One of the reasons why Fiona wants to take you through what we do with it is to break some of the myths around exactly what it does and to show you how it connects with other areas, okay? The great thing about it is that we are obsessed with information governance, so we believe, and it is tested, that it is a secure system on which to hold data, and it does provide powerful modelling capability which can't always be done in Excel, and it is one that can be used by everybody, okay? Key element for us is we know that the system itself is only part of the answer in this regard. What we have been working predominantly around the country has been around system transformation and actually using it as part of transformations. And Fiona will take you through that approach now.
Great. Oops. Gosh, that's sensitive. So, hi, I'm Fiona and I work for Lancashire Care and manage the Wrapped service and have done for a number of years now. We predominantly work around a 5 sort of step process, but the main part of our service really is around steps 1 to 4. As Colin mentioned, there's lots of different methodologies around workforce planning, and this our methodology really has evolved as we've built the tool and we've worked with systems, we've worked with organisations, really thinking about what's missing, where are the gaps out in the system, you know, how do they workforce plan, do they indeed workforce plan, and what are the skills that are around that? So we've developed our approach and we work with organisations or systems, you know, regions, etc., alliances, things like that. Starting off really with a stage of scoping and mobilisation, which sounds really projecty, but actually it's really key that some really detailed understanding of where you're starting from takes place. This is really underpinned by developing what we call a clinical question. And that's thinking about, as a system or an organisation, what is your challenge that you're facing? So obviously we all know, you know, shortages of workforce, the introduction of digital technology, increasing demand. There's loads of challenges on the health and care system now. By understanding the clinical question, that can help to inform the steps that you need to take, the people you need to engage with, the data you need to collect, essentially, I suppose. You know, we're talking about a data-driven workforce planning approach. Part of this step really is around those things, identifying the relevant teams or even the organisations that are involved. It could be that you're bringing together teams from different organisations. So we do some work with the development and creation of neighbourhood teams and understanding what the workforce needs to look like from discrete organisations, but coming together to deliver a joined up service. What's in scope, what's out of scope is really important, because that will determine where you're looking for your specific data that you need. Now, that's going to be workforce data, which I can take you through in a minute, but also activity data as well, and getting to an understanding of what it is they're doing, the amount of time that they're spending doing it. As Colin's mentioned, information governance is really important. Our tool is secure, but actually, we can advise and guide, and we do this a lot, on projects about actually what needs to be in place for a wrapped piece of work. So we have some resources available on our website that can support some of that. We use the information sharing gateway, but we've also got a lot of expertise in the team just that's been built up by the work that we've done. We've had to do a lot of work around GDPR, for example, and the types of, you know, what that's meant for data information going forwards. We've got a slide. I'm not going to go through it because we'll circulate in the slides afterwards, but it's just to help you with some information afterwards. So step two is about understanding your current state. And this is the step really where the tool starts to play into the process. If you think about sort of workforce going forwards, it's really important to understand what your current position is. This is so that you can actually think about where do we need to be in the future, but actually what's that process of change? So one of our key first steps is about looking at what's our current workforce, and that could be from one team, a collection of teams, a number of organisations. Building in the workforce data, that might be from ESR, or it could be from other HR systems, or actually could be through some primary data collection. Also then linking together, what is the activity that workforce is doing? Again, you may be pulling through business intelligence, you could be pulling through referral information, looking at the activity that's being delivered, and thinking about how much time is spent being doing it. So breaking down roles into compartments of time, really, to deliver activity. Building in an alignment of the data to the challenge. So it's really about that bottom step, actually revisiting that clinical question. Often what happens with pieces of work is you get the sort of scope creep situation, don't you? So going through and just really linking the data that we've got, is that going to inform what our challenge is? Is it going to help to actually build that picture of what is it we're doing now? What's our challenge and how can we move forward? All through this part, it's really important about that stakeholder review. And we really sort of major on, you know, looking at a really kind of multidisciplinary approach to that. So really engaging with clinicians in this process, validating data with them, validating the activity, getting data and saying, you know, is this a version of the truth? Are we happy that that actually is what people are doing and how much time they're spending doing it? We've got a few slides actually on workforce data, which I won't go through, but essentially it's just kind of giving you some more information about workforce data and activity data. I'll just quickly talk about drivers though. So in order to understand what workforce does, we've got our workforce picture by whole time equivalent and by role, and we've got our activity data. But so that you can do that kind of complex modelling, we need to understand how much time is that workforce spending doing it. So how do you break down the roles? You may have a band 5 nurse that spends 50% of their time delivering a number of clinical activities, and they may spend 50% of their time doing kind of admin and management tasks. What you might want to model the change on is actually what happens if we reduce that admin demand on that clinician? What does that mean in terms of the nursing workforce if we transfer some of that task to an administrator? But actually then what does it mean in terms of the administrator? You can only really do that confidently if you understand the percentage of time that people are spending doing things. And that's where we build in that kind of driver data. This is a sort of output from the tool. So when you have all this data, you can load it into the modelling tool and actually give yourself an as-is position, what we call a current state baseline. We can actually show people the tool, actually, if people want to. Then really moving forward into a future state development. So thinking about the clinical challenge, what are the potential options? It could be that actually you're looking at a total new care model. It could be an entire service transformation piece of work. And actually understanding, therefore, what's the workforce implications of that? If you're introducing digital technology, not only are you you know, affecting the kind of demand and where it might sort of hit the system. But actually, that's going to require a change to the workforce. Even if it's freeing up capacity because things are being treated differently here, you can actually fill that. It's not about reducing capacity. There's going to be more that you can fill that time with. So you can then model those sort of changes going forwards. So here, what we often do is work with groups of people. So the experts, really, the clinicians, the sort of service managers, depending on obviously your project, really engaging with them about the data picture. This is your current state. Does that look right? We're doing a piece of work at the moment, actually, with the Innovation Agency, which is around mental health and primary care workforce model. And we're running some sessions with our sort of pilot area to look at, this is what the population of this area looks like. This is their demographic. This is their mental health need. This is their learning disability picture. This is the workforce currently from all the different organisations, the different teams, and this is the activity that they're doing. But actually think about going forwards, what's the art of the possible? If we bring in some kind of digital platforms, social assets and things like social prescribing, what's the impact there? What will that do to demand on primary care? So that bit there really is about understanding what's that future state and then drawing out some scenarios for the workforce, because that's what we're going to ask the tool to model on. I don't know if people are familiar with the STAR. I would hope so. But I'm not going to run you through it. It's just, again, some slides for information. Step four is about using the RAP tool to then go forward and model those scenarios of change. Using your baseline that you've already created, you're going to ask the tool any number of questions, really. That can be around workforce change, activity change, the efficiency at which people deliver activity, the percentage of time, so affecting the drivers, introducing new roles, bringing virtual teams together. You can model the impact of tupying in services, so you haven't got them in a baseline, but you're introducing them going forwards. Any number of scenarios, and actually building up really complex workforce scenarios, and that's where the tool really comes in, because it is a very powerful modelling tool. From there, you'll have an output, basically, which you can validate back with your teams. Is this correct? Is this what we're going to do? Use it maybe to underpin a business case or you know, some kind of strategy, etc. And then moving forward really into kind of an implementation phase. So we know what our current picture is and we know what our workforce looks like. This is our future state. Actually, how are we going to move from there to there? So the fifth step is around the implementation. We don't always get massively involved in that because there's lots of different, you know, sort of delivery mechanisms around moving from one state to another. So we can, but we tend to sort of work one to four is our main focus. Again, just got some more information about the actual future state modelling and some more kind of outputs from the tool. Sorry, I've whizzed on to implementation, haven't I? Our contact details are there. We have a stand actually just around the corner from the bar, and we've got some brochures which have got some quotes, etc. It's got a little bit about our offer. We are commissioned by HEE. We have a small core team, and we do projects with Northwest organisations and systems. So we'd be happy to talk to anybody. Or do you want to?
Thanks, Fiona. So, I mean, the key element that I really want to get out of this here is to say there is an approach that is step by step that is available, can be used, and there is a tool that you can use for free. We can obviously assist with that tool, and we can assist with more complicated implementations if you're really trying to get into it. But this stuff exists, it's step to step, and it is, yeah, there is no mystery in terms of how this can be done. If you need help with it, come to the website or talk to Fiona. Thank you.
Thank you.